Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And I was going to talk about an essay that I worked on for the educational group. So we have an online course that we give at His Holy Church for free. The course is closed right now, but if you join the network, the next time it opens up, you'll be able to join in. And there's an essay as part of the assignment talking about congregations and why you congregate and what you do when you congregate. And so I put together my own answer, but I wasn't going to publish it yet until everybody else got their answer in. But we will be talking about it in subsequent radio programs. But just about at the last minute, I decided to change the topic to fathers, fathers of the earth, and natural fathers, and take a look at some of the things that are in the news. For instance, concerning Justina, who we have a new article up on, and if you're in the network, you probably had access to the new information that's come out on that. We've done several shows on that. And to tell you the truth, all the information I see coming from people concerning Justina in the media, they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand where the real problem is. They're trying to find solutions. I just finished a 10-part series that will be airing in a number of our radio stations and on our podcasts. And it addressed some of these issues that people just don't get it. Lawyers just don't get it. Matt Stauber, who is one of the new attorneys aiding in the Justina thing, he's a very brilliant lawyer, but he doesn't seem to know what's going on. At least he's not saying it to the people. He's not explaining to the people what is going on. He addresses talking about going to higher courts, you know, taking this up. I've never seen anything like this. How in the world can they do this? They never give a reason for why they are taking this child away, you know, in the judge's decision. He just does it. And he acts shocked. He acts surprised. They just passed a law in Colorado that literally forced vaccination of children. You're going to have to prove that you've listened and taken courses. You got to go to your medical practitioner or doctor, and he's got a sign that you have been educated in the importance of these vaccines, and or they're just going to give your children vaccinations. And there were all kinds of people arguing against it. The state doesn't have this right, and And the fact is the state has every right, and they tell you that on a regular basis. It's written in the laws. It's decided in the courts, and you haven't got a clue why the state does have that right. Now, they don't really originally have that right, because the rights, men were endowed by rights. God endowed man with rights. God didn't endow governments with any rights. A lot of people say, well, God established the government. The people who say that, they don't even know what they're talking about. You should not listen to those people. Men endow governments with rights. And they usually do it by waiving their own rights. If you went and read the Universal Declaration of Rights, which is a document that has, you know, gone through the UN, UDHR they call it, and Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and we have some interesting articles on humans, but anyway, that would distract you if I explained that to you, but there's quite a few articles in it. If you go down to Article 26, you'll see everyone has the right to education. Well, that's an absolutely insane statement that somebody says you have a right to education, because people are going to construe that you have a right to force somebody else to educate you. To make somebody else pay for your education. Well, you don't have that kind of right. You have a right to go and get educated. You have a right to learn. You have a right to find out what you want to find out, investigate, to learn the truth. You have that right. That's a natural right to seek. But you don't have a right to a education in a school. That's a privilege that might be granted to you by some sort of agency who provides such education. And they may give it to you for free, not charging you, but most of them are not going to give it away for free. I mean, we're the only ones I know that actually give things away for free. We don't have any strings attached. But even that, we don't really give it away for free. It costs somebody something to provide that education. But the people who are doing it with his church, they give it away for free. They don't have strings attached. It costs them. It doesn't cost you. But we do put a little bit of a price on it. We require that you jump through a few hoops very little. You know, you have to have, be in contact with us. You have to have what we call a contact minister, someone who connects you with the rest of the network. But other than that, we give the course away free. And of course, now that, like these radio broadcasts, we devote our time to the radio broadcasts for free. We don't charge anything. And most of the stations that let us on, they don't charge anything. I'd say all of them. Right now, we don't pay for airtime. We devote that time, and the stations are gracious enough to give us that airtime because they think that we have some sort of a message that they think is of value to go out to the world. Cost them money to put us on, but that's their choice. And they have their overhead, and we have our overhead, and you sit there and listen. But that's your choice. And this is why the state can come in. That spirit, when you don't do anything, and you don't participate, you don't want to participate, you just want to sit there and be entertained, that's why the state can come and take your child and force vaccinations on your child. That's why. But now the actual modus of operandi is what we're going to talk about today, and probably for a couple of days to get through all the material, but it's really very simple. It's well documented in history how this works, how the state ends up owning your children. They literally own the children. They are the Molochs of the world. They can take your children and they can sacrifice them to the god of Pharmaceutica. They can sacrifice them to the god of Nebo, which is the god of education. They can do whatever they want because they're not your children. They belong to the state, and we'll show you that. Now, if you read down in that Article 26, there's actually three sections to it in that Declaration of Human Rights, and they talk about education shall be directed to the full development of the human personality. Well, who's directing that? What do they mean by that? Education shall be? See, this is not in Declaration of Human Rights anymore. They're talking about that. They're talking about what you can compel on other people. They're mixing. Their thinking is going into either you're free or you're not free. You know, it's like, you know, either you're a virgin or you're not a virgin. You can't have it both ways. You know, I'm free over in these things, but I'm not free over here. Then you're not free. Free is free. So anyway, but the third item says parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. Where do you get a prior right? Prior to what? There's a point in time where evidently prior to entering into club or entering into an agreement, you had a prior right. Can you lose that prior right? Absolutely. And then when you do, someone else gets to decide what it means to say education shall be directed to the full development of human personality and to the strengthening of respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms. It shall promote understanding, tolerance, and friendship. Somebody else gets to decide what that means. Among all nations, it says, races and religious groups. Now, well-meaning people, but they really don't understand what they're talking about. And I'll give you another group before we get into what is really going on here so that you can actually know why they can take your children away without proving you've done anything wrong whatsoever and just ignore the national media and say, well, you guys don't matter because they're our kids. And they tell you that they are not your kids. They tell you that they have power over them. But anyway, there's another website, parentalrights.org, and they have an amendment that they're trying to get passed to add to the Constitution of the United States. And it has five sections, and they're not very long sections. I can read them to you just to give you an idea of what they're thinking. And section one is the liberty of parents to direct the upbringing, education, and care of their children is a fundamental right. Absolutely. I don't know why you need an amendment to state that, but evidently they think they do need an amendment to say that that's because the Universal Declaration of Human Rights says that it's a prior right, fundamental, original, from the beginning. Section 2, the parental right to direct education includes the right to choose public, private, religious, or home schools, and the right to make reasonable choices within public schools for one's child. In other words, when you put your kids in public school, you don't just turn them over. You can actually make reasonable choices. But as soon as you say reasonable choices, who gets to decide what's a reasonable choice? You see, Judge Johnson, in the Justina case, he has decided that it's reasonable to take a child away from parents who have been proven to do nothing wrong whatsoever and imprison her for 14 months, deprive her of education, deprive her of medical treatment that has allowed her to not only survive but thrive, to the point where she's in a wheelchair and feels like she has been in prison for 14 months and is got an ongoing infection now from lack of care that may cause her death in a matter of minutes or hours because she has an infection. And their children have died from this already. And he doesn't have to give a single reason why he's doing it. Now, how does a lawyer defend against legal arguments as to why he can do this when none are made? So why can the judge do this? Why can he just take this child away with no legal arguments as to why he's doing it? He no explanation. Well, I'm going to tell you why he can do it, and you might be a little shocked. But I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm going to keep going through these different sections of this deal. So the reality is that they're saying parental rights are fundamental, like the Human Rights Declaration, that they're prior. In Section 3, that says the United States or any state shall not infringe these rights without demonstrating that its governmental interest as applied to the person is the highest order and not otherwise served. So they're talking about the government's interest. The government's interest as applied to the person is of the highest order. Again, somebody's going to have to evaluate what's the highest order, because it's already been ruled in cases that the state's right is the highest order. Whatever they want is the highest order. And they're trying to show that, you know, the state can't interfere unless they prove prove to who that it's the highest order interest of the government to interfere with this child. And the fact is, and actually they don't even say the word prove here, they infringe these rights without demonstrating that its governmental interest is applied to the person is of the highest order. What does that mean, demonstrating? See, they're actually creating more confusion with their attempt, and they're probably getting terrible advice from attorneys as to what's really going on. We're going to show you what the actual solution is. And it's really simple. It's not a complicated solution, but you have to see that there's a problem. So I'm showing you what some people think is the solution. It goes on in Section 4, the article shall not be construed to apply to a parental action or decision that would end life. So, okay, the parents can't end the life of their child. Section 5, no treaty may be adopted, nor shall any source of international law be employed to supersede, modify, interpret, or apply the rights guaranteed by this article. Well, once they put that in, it was doomed. It was unlikely to ever pass anyway. It doesn't really have the teeth that they think it does, because it's still back in the hands of the court to decide what is reasonable and what is demonstrating. And all those things have already been settled in Supreme Court cases and Superior Court cases. And we'll read from a couple of those cases, but that people are spinning their wheels, fighting windmills here, thinking that if we get this in the Constitution, then our rights are safe. Well, there's a lot of things in the Constitution, and they talk about rights, and they don't seem to be safe, because there's something else in the Constitution that nobody pays any attention to, and that's your right to contract. You know, the state interest is actually decreasing daily. It's going somewhere else, and it's going somewhere else because of debt. Who owns you, baby? Does the United States government own you? Are you a human resource? Is your child a human resource? Well, how can the United States government own you if the United States government is operating in the red and is bankrupt? Wouldn't the creditors own you? So who are they? China? Does China own your children? Does, you know, there are other countries who have bought U.S. bonds and treasury notes, and they have you and your children as collateral. But a lot of you may not want to believe that, and you're going to say, well, I didn't agree to that, but you agreed to something. You probably wouldn't be here if you didn't agree to something. But let me read to you a little piece of, let's see, where does this come from? Ex parte Wright, Fletcher versus Preston, and Stripling versus Ware, and we'll read what it says there. It says, pursuant to the parens patria, that's Latin, father of the nation, so to speak, you could translate it that way, doctrine, which is well recorded, it's even in the U.S. codes. I might even be able to tell you where that is in the U.S. codes. I'll have to look it up right now. It's not coming to me, but I think it's Title 26, Section 3003, Subsection 15. Now, I'm not looking that up. I'm actually doing that from memory. I'm pulling up the picture and trying to read it. But anyway, you can look that up. But anyway, pursuant to parens patria doctrine, the primary control and custody of infants is with the government. That's right. The primary control and custody of infants is with the government. Not with you. Now, that's not saying that you didn't have a prior right. It's just saying that the primary control and custody now is with the government. That's what it says. That's the ruling. In other words, and this is a different ruling, in other words, the state is the father and mother of the child, and the natural parents are not entitled to the custody except upon the state's beneficent, upon the state's benevolence, on its benefaction. Those benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Chandler versus Whatley case. That's a 1939 case. Already, and by 1939, they were claiming that you don't have any rights as a parent. Except if they say so. That's why they can take your children away for no cause. Because they just don't feel beneficent. Today. They don't feel like benefactors today. They're going to take them away because you don't own them. You don't even own yourselves, but that's another part of the equation. And you know why you don't own yourselves and your children? Why they can take your sons and daughters for their purposes? Do you know why? Because you rejected God. You went to church, you sang in church, you said you believe in Jesus, that you have faith in Jesus, but you're actually rejecting God. All those words you say in church, those are in vain. You're ignorant of the gospel of the kingdom. You're ignorant of the righteous ways of God. You're not following them, and so therefore they own you. And they own your children. And they can take your children and they can inject them with anything they want. They just don't want to get you too worked up, so they do it a little bit at a time, you know. They kind of sneak it in, you know, Colorado first, and then, of course, California will come along with this. And there'll be some backlash and people argue against it, but the pharmaceutical companies will make millions before your kids are dead. And that's okay. You see, because they don't care about you either. They care about how much money they're going to make. But what do you care about? You don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. If you did, you'd be gathering together to protect. It wouldn't be 10 people show up to try to get Justine out of that hospital. It'd be 10,000 Bostonians alone that showed up. But see, there aren't any real Christians hardly in Boston. Because nobody's preaching the gospel in Boston. But then they're not preaching it in Poughkeepsie either. We're preaching it, and we're going to tell you what you've been missing, the rest of the story, when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about fathers, fathers of the earth. Jesus said, "Call no man father. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." And we have a webpage out, several webpages out on this topic that explains exactly what that means, to call no man father upon the earth. And what it was people have a tendency to look to government to solve their problems. We see that in Samuel 8. Where the people wanted to have a king to reign and rule over them, and they wanted to elect Saul, and they wanted their Supreme Court Justice, Samuel, to swear him in to that office where he could exercise authority and he could fire judges that are corrupt and make things right. Now, they had a means by which to fire those judges. They had a means by which to get rid of that corruption, but they couldn't get along well enough to do this, and at least they thought they couldn't. And so they couldn't get rid of them. So they said, let's have a king, and he can appoint the judges and fire the judges, you know. We may even get to elect our judges, but then he can fire the ones he doesn't like. Before you know it, you know, he packs the Supreme Court, and he can rule over you. And we saw it during the Civil War, We see it all the time. You know, when the presidents get to nominate people for the Supreme Court, they put on people that have political ideas and interpretations according to the way they like things. And if they have a Congress that supports them, they can really pack that court with guys they like. And they can appoint people over Justice Departments. They can appoint people over the CDC. The head of the CDC in, I think it's CDC, I don't know, Children's Services, DCF now. They changed their initials from time to time. I don't know why that is, but to protect the guilty, I guess. But they've wanted to fire the person who's in charge in Massachusetts a number of times. A lot of people are up in arms. They think they're doing a terrible job, and the governor won't do it. There's probably a lot of politics going on behind the scenes there. But they can get away with that. They don't have to listen to the people because, I mean, only 10 people are going to show up at a protest. And then that's the other thing. Even when you get thousands of people to show up at a protest, they all show up and they come there and then nothing happens. And they all go home. And the people who are in power just laugh. They're not afraid of your protests. You're not going to do anything. You just go down there and you think, wow, we protested. But now with the internet, you know, people worry about, they say the government's going to worry because we're going to get the truth out on the internet. And what happens is that people tweet about something they think is bad. And, well, I've done my part. I tweeted. I said, I think this is bad. And then I went back the other 99.9% of the day and did whatever I dang well pleased. No concept of a free society. No concept of even what a free society should be doing. Which is why, you know, we're explaining what a congregation should actually do. I mean, you don't want to think that what a church should be doing is what the churches are doing down on the street corner where you live. Because that isn't what they're supposed to be doing. If they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, children would not be kidnapped by the state and tortured for 14 months and nobody do anything, but 10 people show up with signs. Now they've got lawyers on it, but those lawyers are acting like, this is outrageous, and I've never seen anything like this. I've seen it all the time. I've seen children taken away from their parents all the time. And I live almost 100 miles to the courthouse. And I've been in the courtroom when people were tossed in jail. And I know people, I wasn't always there in the courtroom when some of these things happened. I know people that were just absolutely brutalized by the police. Women. Beat up in broad daylight. In the court. Physically assaulted, did nothing to warrant any kind of an assault, were physically assaulted and dragged, bleeding, by the cops, off to jail. I've seen little tiny innocent little guys, didn't do anything wrong, didn't commit any crime, conspired against, dragged into court because they couldn't get the other guys they wanted to get because of their own incompetence. He was beat black and blue in jail. And, you know, I went right in there on the day we got him out. I went right into the cop and I said, you didn't become a cop to let this kind of stuff go on. You're letting it go on because you're afraid of the guys in power. I told him that right there in the middle of the jail. And they took it. But it was just me and one other person. Because you guys are all up singing in your churches. You don't care about your neighbor. Oh, you want to think you're a Christian, but no, 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 no. You want to think you're a nice guy. Oh, no, 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 no. Not nice guy like early Christians. Not that kind of nice guy. People who risk their lives daily for each other. Who lay everything down to protect one another. You're not that kind of Christian. You're the kind of Christian that, you know, oh, maybe we'll listen to the radio show today. There's nothing else to do. And you think you're going to be free? You think you're saved? Now, Christianity, it's a rough road. It's a courageous road. It's for courageous people. It's for self-sacrificing people. It's not for, you know, pudding-hand pastors who get up there and say, oh, you get all emotional and teary-eyed. Jesus died for my sins, said that they will be forgiven. No, Jesus died that you might be saved. You don't repent, you ain't saved. And I want to see evidence of that repentance before I'm going to tell you that you're saved. You can't just tell me that you believe in Jesus and I'm going to tell you you're saved. I'm not going to do that. That would be doing a disservice. That would be tickling your ears. I'm not going to do that. You're probably not saved. Just statistically speaking, from what I've seen of Christianity today, you're probably not saved. You're under a strong delusion of salvation. You haven't really accepted the real Jesus. You're not really seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness unless it's convenient. And that's the inconvenient truth. That doesn't make me a lot of money, I can guarantee you that. But that's what you need to hear. You have need of repentance. Serious, serious need of repentance. Because hell is going to be empty soon, and all the demons are going to be here. And you don't have on the armor of God because you haven't turned around and started going the way that Christ said to go. Now, you don't have the power in you to go where Christ wants you to go. You don't have the strength in you to follow in the path of Christ. You don't have that. Because that's a gift. And it comes by way of the Holy Spirit. And it only comes by way of the Holy Spirit if you truly turn around and head back to your Father's house to serve. You see, your Father is Satan. That's right. And this is why Satan can come and take your child away from you. Inject it with whatever they want. Refuse it medical treatment. Keep you from even visiting your child. It can pump it full of all kinds of drugs and narcotics. New test drugs that haven't even been approved yet. They're just being tested. Do you think Justina has received some of those test drugs? Absolutely. Absolutely. They have the absolute right to do that. It's wrong to do it. But they have the absolute legal right to do it. Because you rejected God. And you prayed at their altars. And you ate at their tables. Despite the fact that God said, if you sit and eat with a ruler. And when we say ruler, we're talking about men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. When you sit and eat with them, put a knife to your throat, because he serves you deceitful meats. You should have put a knife to your throat and dragged yourself out of that room. But instead, no. I'm going to apply for public school education. I'm going to apply for Medicare. I'm going to apply for Medicaid. You know, I don't want to pick on the individuals, but I'm talking about a spirit that you think it's okay to take from government, and you don't think there's going to be repercussions. Well, there is. There's serious repercussions. Mr. Pelletier, he's discovering what those repercussions are. And Mr. Matt Stauffer should be explaining to him that you don't have a right to your child. You've given that up when you applied for the benefits. When you applied for medical aid and medical coverage by the state and free education, when you applied for those things, you waived your right to decide the fate of your child. When you registered your child for benefits at her birth, something Christians refused to do and were actually persecuted to death for refusing to register their child's birth under Marcus Aurelius. That's a matter of history. But you don't know that history because you go to the feel-good church. But we're really decent people at our church. We like each other, and And, you know, it's really a great fellowship. You can get that at a club. That's not what church is about. Church isn't a social club. Church is about salvation in this life and the next. It's about walking in the ways of Christ. And if you walk in the ways of Christ, they're going to want to crucify you. And you don't have to be in a Muslim country for them to do that. You can be that right here in America. But if you would gather together with other people who are really courageous and really care about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves, you still won't have a chance. You will only have a chance with the intervention of the Holy Spirit. And it will intervene if you are truly repentant. This is why we tell you to homeschool. If you just put on homeschooling and think that, well, you know, I'll do that. No, you need to be convicted that I cannot any longer take from my neighbor through this beast system of force and power. If I don't have a coat and nobody wants to share with me, I will freeze. If I don't have food and nobody wants to share with me, I will go hungry. I don't want you to be stupid about this. It's not a matter of getting rid of your ID and your social security number and all that kind of stuff. It's starting to be that person who will be there for others. You have to start the flow of righteousness by starting to care about others. So many people think, oh, I want to get out of the system because it's a beast system. It's a beast system. And what they do, they end up losing their job and they can't drive anymore because they don't have their social security number and all these kinds of things. And all they do is become a burden to everybody else. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be gathering together and loving one another so that you would be better off staying in Egypt, paying your tally of bricks, but then with everything that you have left over, sharing that to the most of your ability. You're going to have to do some overtime. To the most of your ability, decrease your own standard of living to try to bring other people up in a way that strengthens them. That's what you have to do. And you have to do this by gathering together and seeking to find those other people who are courageous and giving and forgiving and willing to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You've gone so far down into the pit that you're going to have to start climbing back out. It's not about getting out of Egypt. It's about getting that spirit of Egypt out of you. So anyway, we've gone through three quarters of the show, and we haven't even really gotten into this parens patria other than the fact that I shared with you that, in other words, the state is the father and mother of the child, and the natural parents are not entitled to custody except upon the state's beneficent behavior or attitude or feeling of the day. And that's the way it is. And you can shake your fist and shake your head and get angry all you want, but that's not going to make it any better. What you have to do is start taking back your responsibilities and stop asking Sauls of the world or the Nimrods of the world to be your great benefactors, which is exactly what Jesus told you to do. He says it wasn't to be that way like these other nations with you, but it is today in America, in Australia, in Canada, everywhere. They got the state providing you with protection and benefits. Protection draws subjection, but subjection draws protection. But they don't love you. You're just a human resource. So when the chips are really down, and they'll be down soon enough, they're not going to be there for you. And most of your neighbors are not going to be there for you. And most of the people in your social club called church are not going to be there for you. They're going to want you to be there for them, but they're not going to be there for you. They'll hold out. They'll have a safe, full of silver coins and gold and everything else, and they won't share with you. They'll expect you to come and help them. They won't tell you about all the money they have. I remember a pastor was helping out a guy, giving him a place to live and giving him food and money every day so he could go look for a job. And he had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars secreted away in a little purse that he didn't tell anybody about. He would go and he would make money. I think he begged during the day is what he would do, because he would come back with more money every night. But then he would take money from the preacher and he would go and get more money. He had a free place to stay and he had free food. And he said, "No, I looked for a job. I applied here and there and everything." And I think he was just on the street corners getting, begging. And that was his ambition in life, to look mournful and dejected and get money from other people without working. He worked hard at not working. But it was the spirit in him. He was a vampire. He wanted to suck the blood of other people. And he was willing to lie and cheat and do it. Fortunately, the pastor finally figured it out with him, but I don't know if he's figured it out with everybody else. But anyway, in the article we have on Call No Man Father, the Bible tells us that we all have one father, but he also talks about the Pharisees having their father Satan. So the question is, who's your daddy? No one is more sovereign than the creator of mankind. That's where you are endowed by your rights. How does God the Father appoint the ruling powers over men so that they may exercise authority? To understand the present is often required to look at the past. Man was not given dominion over other men by God. Governments are not given dominion over men by God. Men cannot acquire righteous dominion by force, yet by consent we may give ourselves into subjection. But consent requires agreement. Could that be why in the Ten Commandments it tells you, thou shalt not make agreements, a covenant, a contract, a constitution? Thou shalt not do it. Now, in the Bible, it does tell you that if you decide to do it, you better put these items in there, four or five items they list off. Only one of them is in the Constitution of the United States, and most of them aren't in any constitutions around the world. So, those constitutions aren't the ones that are permitted by God. But, you are permitted to sin, but you will not sin without consequences. And now you're seeing the consequences that can come and take your sons and daughters. Which, of course, is what Samuel told you they could do. They would be able to take your sons and daughters and put them to their purposes. Because they're not your sons and daughters anymore. They're sons and daughters of the state. Because the state is the one. You know, how many people remember in the old movies and shows and where there was some rebellious young teenager and he says, "You're eating at my table, you're going by my rules." You've heard that. Well, whose table are you eating at? Okay. Well, whose rules do you have to follow? There you go. That simple. It's not complicated. I can go through and show you the law. But it's as simple as what Daddy told you. You eat at my table, you live by my rules. That's it. There you got it. Now, write that down. Remember that. Somebody needs it. You know, that's what Matt Stauffer's got to tell the father of Justina. You're eating at their table. You got to play by their rules. And their rule is, it's not your daughter. It's their daughter. That's what they got written down here. In other words, the state is the father and mother of the child, and the natural parents are not entitled to custody except by their benefaction. Write it down. They wrote it down. They published it. They didn't tell you that in public school? Well, why should they? Public school is not about educating free people. It's about educating slaves. That's what it's about. And they're doing a great job of it. You don't want your slaves being too smart now, do you? I mean, they're going to learn to read and write, so you just got to have the way in which they read to be kind of the ignorant way to read. The truth is right in front of you all the time. Most of you don't want to hear it. Some of you are starting to want to hear it. Now, is that going to do you any good? How many of you work daily to get this program where somebody is willing to tell you the truth at great risk? You think the powers that be don't want to shut me up? Nobody else is saying this. They're too afraid. Pastors whisper this stuff to me. The few that do want to see it a little bit. I'm saying, go ahead, get us on a big radio station. Get us on as many radio stations. Call every radio station in your community and say, we want to hear this program. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't want to stick my head up, you know. That might be a lot of trouble. Actually, dial a number, you know. You always have to dial the area code, too. Go make your excuses. Go bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. What are you going to do about waking people up to the truth? Well, I'll ask you that again on the next time on Keys of the Kingdom. Till then, may peace be upon your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about fathers, fathers of the earth, fathers that we should not be praying to for our daily bread, but fathers that will exercise authority, fathers such as the fathers of the Pharisees, which was Satan, the adversary of God, doing things contrary to the ways of God. And what are the ways of God? The ways of God are love, faith, hope, charity, the perfect law of liberty. Do you know anybody who says that they're your father or the father of your children that does not operate by faith, hope, and charity, but operates by force and control? Well, that's the father of Satan and the child of Satan and the servant of Satan, because that's the father of the earth that you're not to be calling any man. It's that simple. You have been so far down in the pit, so much in the blackness, that you cannot even see that a voluntary society is possible. Did you know that throughout man's history, according to historians, the most predominant form of government of mankind has been voluntary systems? That voluntarily people pay in to help the needy. People voluntarily pay in to the defense of the people. They voluntarily do what is necessary to support the health of the community. That's the most predominant form of government throughout the history of mankind. But there's a modern aberration of another kind of government that is so pervasive, you can't even imagine a voluntary society operating by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. And that's the kingdom of God. The right to be ruled by God. Those people, if they were around, would have the right to be ruled by God. But you're not one of those people, probably. So you probably don't have the right to be ruled by God. You have the right to be ruled by the fathers of the earth. And I said in the last show, it's as simple as that old thing that we used to hear on the TV. If you're going to eat at my table, boy, you're going to live by my rules. That's it. If you're going to eat at the table of men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other, then you're going to live by their rules. And they're going to be able to take your sons and daughters. That's why they can take Justina. Because you're just complaining about Satan being a little totalitarian. That's all. He's all about that. Of course, you're all about that too. Don't you realize that when you eat at the table of these rulers, you're eating at the table of he who has an evil eye, a covetous eye. You have said, Master, will you take from my neighbor to set my table, to put great benefits before me, delightful dainties before me? Will you take from my neighbor with the power of your arm, the right arm? Will you take from them so that my table will be full and plentiful of benefits? Everybody who goes to public school, everybody who signs their kids up for public school, that's what they're doing. They're saying, I paid in, and so therefore I have a right to it, because I pay in. Average educational cost for one student, $10,000 a year. Do you pay $10,000 a year in educational taxes? Taxes that go to education? If you don't, somebody else has to pick up that slack. But you don't care about them as much as you care about what you want. And so therefore you do it. It's fine. It's okay. I just go to public school. It's free. You see? So you don't really love your neighbor as much as yourself. You don't love your neighbor as much as you love your benefits. Wow. You're not a Christian. You're not following Christ. That means that no matter what you say, you're not a doer of the word. Oh my gosh, that means you're not saved. That's right. You're not saved. You don't like that? Well, that's too bad. That's just the way it is. You're not saved. You imagine that you are. You said the magic words. And you think going to church is all about relationships and fellowship. But as your church works diligently every time it comes together to help and seek out people who would like to or willing to try to homeschool their children but are afraid to start, I met a pretty decent family, pretty good family, sucked in by this modern reality of false Christianity. But I think that they're actually pretty, you know, they're pretty down-home people, not far from the kingdom, but don't understand it. And they were contemplating homeschooling their children, and they thought they couldn't do it. They believed some of the lies about homeschooling. Well, we were worried that they would be, you know, socially restricted. Well, not if everybody was doing it. Everybody used to do it. Yeah, you hear about schools back in the 1800s and stuff like that. Kids would go there. That was just to boost their education. Most of their study was still at home. You know, Abe Lincoln, you know, studying by the firelight of the fireplace, that's at home. Most of the study should be at home. And we're not saying that as homeschoolers you couldn't get together and challenge one another and encourage one another and see how one another is learning and share information. That's still a good idea. But when you get together, you pay the bill. You eat at the table of righteousness. Stop forcing your neighbor to pay for that. Yeah, you pay in. You don't pay in enough. I would have had to pay in $60,000 a year for my 6 kids. I paid in what they required, but I educated my kids at home. And I didn't ask for the benefits from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. I did not pray for my daily bread or assistance to men who called themselves fathers of the earth. They are the human fathers of the earth, the fathers of the humus. But anyway, so how do you get into this system where you become subject and your children become subject and they can take your children like they did with Justina, imprisoned her for 14 months with no explanation from the judge as to why he can do this? Doesn't need one. It's already in the law. Mr. Stauber should know that. They're claiming the right of parens patria. He's trying to make Satan's system work. He's got to realize that's Satan's system. I know he can make a lot of money doing that as an attorney. And if he started telling you how it really works, he'd be out of a job. He beats around the bush. We quote him in some of our documents, our church documents, because he's right about a lot of things, but he doesn't take it far enough. There's other preachers, I won't mention any names, that are not far from the kingdom, but they got to realize if your church is not working daily to help people so they no longer have to eat at the table of Satan, the table of men who exercise authority one over the other, if that is not your primary goal, to set the table of the Lord so that no one has to go and eat at the table of Satan, the adversary to God and the adversary to the ways of God, then you're not a church. You're not doing the work of Christ. You're taking your hand from the plow. You don't like that? Too bad. I'm telling you right now. You need to repent. You need to start telling your congregation we have to get off of the government dole, off of public education, off of health care, off of Social Security. Still have to pay your taxes. You still have to pay your tally of bricks. But you have to start looking to one another. The Amish were exempt from the health care thing. Why? Because they're doing that. You're not. You shouldn't be exempt. But if you start doing it, God will hear you. If you start serving in your Father's house. You know, that's what the word worship means. You know, some of the time the word worship is translated from one Greek word, and sometimes you see the word worship translated from another Greek word, which is where you get the word liturgical, which means service. The word they use, it kind of literally means to lick the hand, but it really means to service. And if you're not actually providing a service at your church, I mean a real service, helping people so they no longer have to sit at the table of kings, that's good. But that isn't what I see going on in churches. I see feel-good churches. Big screen TV, great sound system, gonna make you feel all touchy-feely inside before you go home churches. I don't see anybody preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of responsibility, the gospel of charity. I don't see them preaching that. Token stuff. Anyway, is verbal consent the only way we may be subjected to those who are exercising authority one over the other? If we take from or damage others, we may incur an obligation to make amends. If we refuse to pay for what we have damaged or taken, it is reasonable to compel recompense. You know, if you wanted to join the mafia, they're going to try to get you to commit a crime. They'll give you a job where you commit a crime because they got you. And that's all the government does. It gets you to commit a crime. What crime do they get you to commit? You don't have to raise your hand. Just blurt it right out, and we'll see if you get the right answer. What crime do the governments of the world, the fathers of the earth, get you to commit in order to bind your soul to their will? Everybody answer? Did you say covet? Yeah, that's a crime. Desiring what belongs to your neighbor. Desiring to force your neighbor to contribute to your public education, your health care, your welfare, your social security, anything. Desiring to force them to contribute is coveting. And if you covet, you will go into bondage. And you will stay in bondage until you repent. Now, how do you repent of coveting? You have to start giving away that which you have. Not so much that you're starving. We don't want you starving in the streets. But we want you to start devoting your time and your energy and your resources to freeing other people. Go back to your father's house with the intention of being a servant. If you don't do that, the father will not run out and meet you. And the reality is, you're going to need the father to come out and meet you. You're going to need the divine intervention of the Father for what's coming. And there's nothing I can do about that. That's just the way it is. So you need to really start getting serious about repentance. So anyway, if we take from someone else or damage somebody else, then we may be required, we may go under an obligation of recompense by the state. And if they decide to take your children, they will. And they do. Besides these two reasonable ways of creating a subjecting authority over our bodies and even our minds, there is still another system clearly sanctioned and even promoted by God the Father in heaven. And if you read in Malachi 2:10, it says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us?" Well, originally, that prior right we were talking about in the last show, yeah, that prior right that was created by God, that's still out there. You just don't have access to it anymore because you've gone whoring after other gods. And you need to repent of that. And you need to go the other way. And the other way requires that you have to start caring about others as much as you care about yourself. Can you do that? Are you willing to do that? Do you know how to do that? Can you do that on your own? Well, no, you're going to have to do that together with others. Now, when we talk about this prior right, you can go all the way back to the Anaititishus, which were the ancient equivalent to the modern words and phrases. It was a kind of an expression of law. It was an ancient code preserving Sumerian family laws. Not only is the first government based on the family and ordained by God, but all government is based on the precept of what family is or should be, according to these laws. And those words and phrases concerning family were simply an expression of the power of the father, the natural father, and the natural mother over the destiny and care and provision of the child. And that's the prior right. But if you eat at my table, you got to go by my rules. You see? So the family is also the first government in the life of the child, with the father as the God-ordained head of the household, and his government under God as the child's basic government. That was actually written by Rush Dooney, Law and Liberty. That's where it started, but that's not where we're at today. in the great domestic relationship of husband and wife. If you read in Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, which is right there. Actually, it's actually up here on my desk at this time. And I wasn't reading out of it today, but I haven't put it back yet since I was reading out of it. But it's one of the basic fundamental books of law. It was one of the first law books that I picked up and really began, you know, other than business law and stuff in college, to read and to understand law. And I came across a chapter called Domestic Relations, and under it was a section called Husband and Wife, and talks about husband, the wife, the rights of the husband, rights of the wife, at natural law, at common law. And then there was another section, marriage, and it was talking about the rights of the husband and rights of the wife. The word husband and wife were no longer capitalized. This was a different relationship because the remedies were different. And that's where you are at. And if you don't understand that, go read the book Covenants of the Gods, because you've made lots of covenants with them. You didn't just eat at the table. You've been making written agreements with them for a long time. And now you have to keep those agreements. I'm not telling you to rebel. I'm not about rebelling. I'm about trying to get you to stop rebelling against God, to start caring about one another as much as Christ cared about you, that he would lay down his life that you might be saved, which requires that you repent and become a doer of the word. You're not going to be saved because you do X amount of work. But if you're not even going to start the work, then you haven't really repented. You're still working in the pig house. So anyway, so family is the first government. All governments are designed after the family. This is why the Emperor of Rome was called Our Father, Patronus, and all the senators were called Patri, and why Jesus said, call no man on earth Father, because this will lead to your destruction. Because you will not be able to live by God's rules, you'll have to live by His rules, which is God's rules. If you eat at His table, Now you know how the governments are ordained. They are ordained to punish the wicked, the covetous, the workers of iniquity, who become members of those governments. Apply to them. Pray to them for benefits. And it's so hard for some people to wrap around because, you know why? Because it requires humility. They have to admit, oh my gosh, we screwed up. We made a mistake. We went the wrong way. We're not following the ways of Christ. He said, concerning the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, it was not to be that way with us. How many people think they're Christians and go to men who exercise authority and pray for their benefits at the expense of their neighbor? You can't do that and be a Christian. You can't say you're following Christ and go the opposite direction He said to go. So anyway, if you want to know more about husband and wife, capital husband, capital wife, and the natural law, go read Holy Matrimony versus Marriage and find out what that is really all about. The family is God's sanctioned government. That was, at first, the only government that God sanctioned. He did sanction a government that operates according to the perfect law of liberty, where the government is in the hands of the individual people. The power of the state is in the hands of the individual people. Not as a democracy where you can take away the rights of your neighbor, but as a republic where the responsibility is entirely in your hands, and the people you elect are paid by free will offerings to help bring the people together as a nation through a network of benefaction based on love. You see, Judge Joseph in the Justina case, he doesn't have to love Justina. He just has the power to take her away from the parents. Oh, he'll justify it in his own mind, I'm sure. But it's all about power with him. It's all about control. Do you have any idea what his family life is like? What's happening with his children right now? You probably don't. Probably be considered a crime if you tried to find out. Because he might feel threatened by that. But he isn't the problem. You're the problem. 10 people show up and protest at the hospital. 10 people. Maybe 20 at tops. How embarrassing for Massachusetts. It's headed for absolute destruction. I know people in Massachusetts that are staying there thinking, you know, they're going to set things right. But they're not following the ways of Christ. That's the only way. I mean, we've never had a world so much in bondage as we do today. From one end, there is no free nations left. There are no free people left in all the world as recognized nations. They just don't exist anymore. There is no frontier. There is no crossing the Red Sea. Not physically. But spiritually, you need to. And it means you have to repent. You have to turn around. In the law of the Latins, the Romans, the word potestas signifies generally the power or authority by which we do anything. Patria potestas, the father's power, signifies the authority which a father had over his children, his grandchildren, and other descendants. There was an almost absolute power over the child by the father, as there also is at the common law. If we go back, there are several common laws, but the original common law. This was not based on ownership as a slave, but as a member of a familia, in which the status of the father would affect the status of the son. An act by which the patria potestas was terminated is called emancipatio, or emancipation. So the power of the father could be terminated by this emancipation. This was a big thing to the Romans. So they devised a standard that is still used to this day. In law, I mean, basically you're under Roman law in most governments of the world. So that standard holds up. It actually holds up quite a bit in the law of nature as far as jus naturale and jus gentium, that you can terminate your power as the father if you meet three criteria. And we're going to go through those three criteria and explain more how this works. And it's going to take several shows, but we're going to take you and we're going to reveal some of the secret workings and mysteries of the law that you probably won't get from an attorney. You're going to get it here because we're going to fire all cannons before we're done with this topic. Be right back. So anyway, we're talking about the pater familias, the father of the family. The family was a political unit in a free society. It was the natural unit of mankind, a man and a woman and their children. From that, society is born. That is the reproducing agency of society. And if men are not cattle, then the family produces the family's children. The children belong to the family. If they are a herd that belongs to a master, then the children belong to the master. And the husband and wife are allowed to raise them as long as the master wants. If he thinks they will not do a good job, he will take them off. The children off of the father or mother and either graft them onto another. We've had sheep that didn't have milk, couldn't produce milk, and we took their lambs away from them. And we put those lambs on to a mother that will produce the milk and raise the child, the lamb or the calf. And we do that, and it works pretty good. If we feed them if we take them away from the ewes entirely and put them as what we call bummer lambs, and we feed them, several times a day, and we feed them whole milk, and sometimes even sheep milk that we milk out, they will not do as well. They simply will not do as well as if they were on their mothers, because that is the natural thing. So society does the same thing, because mankind has become a herd. It has become not a herd unto itself, but a herd that is owned. And that's why you're registered under the agricultural department. That's why the census is run through the agricultural department. I was talking to a census worker once, and I says that you're just counting livestock. And I says, I get my check from the agricultural department. Yeah, just count livestock. Human resources, part of the herd. And the question is, who owns that herd now? But anyway, back to this paterfamilias. The family was and is a political unit. Within what they called the manu of the family, neither the wife nor the husband could use each other, for they could sue each other, for they are counted as one person, one body. Now, people do that all the time. They sue husband and wife now, but that's not capital husband, capital wife. That's this other domestic relationship that you find in Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, with different remedies, which are usually listed as remedies in equity, because it's not the natural family relationship. And this is one of the problems that you see with some of those outfits that we were talking about in the previous show, about getting them in past and prior rights of the parents and all this kind of stuff. They're mixing natural law with equity. And equity winks at the law. It follows the law, but it is not the law. It is the law of contract. And if you have this law of contract, somebody gets the power to decide what is reasonable, what is not reasonable. And that is not the paterfamilias of the natural law. That is a domestic relationship under equity. Different kind of relationship entirely. But maybe we're getting too complicated for some of you. Some of you might be following along. And, of course, you can read all this in articles and documents that we have on the Internet at hisholychurch.org. And now we actually have a page up at Preparing You that has some of this material. But anyway, in Genesis, way back at the beginning, Genesis 2, 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That this is the first corporation. Two or more people gathered together as one person, one flesh, for a particular purpose, under a pre-existing authority, which is the authority of God. So it's not we don't call it a corporation. We call it a familias, a family. And this was the building unit of God's government, is that family. And they talk about, "Therefore shall a man leave his father. For this cause you shall leave your father and your mother." And you should do it with permission, because you're still part of this family unit. And that permission should be frank permission, where your father says, "Okay, you can get married, and you have my blessing." And then now you become this separate unit, still connected in a voluntary way with your father. You still should be honoring your father, which actually the word there means to fatten. You should be tithing to your father, and your father should be tithing to some sort of national minister for the support of the community. Because for a family to be really a righteous family, it has to care about the next family as much as it cares about its own. You have to honor your father as long as he lives, and you have to and your father as well should care about the next family unit as much as you care about your own. Because that family unit is one person in God's kingdom, one flesh in God's kingdom. It goes on to say, the child is bound within this manu of the family, this unit. The manu is a Latin word for the power of the pater familias over his wife and his sons and his family. And even in its prior history, the manu as a Sanskrit word meant the primordial father of the human race and the sovereign of the earth. These concepts fundamentally reach into the antiquities of man's history and are only supplanted by the twisted thoughts of an usurping substitute for God's plan. So this original, in God's kingdom, this family is the king. The head of the family is the king. People say, oh, well, you know, but you get abusive fathers. Well, you get abusive governments. And what happens is that very few abusive fathers invade other nations, bomb other nations, destroy whole nations, murder hundreds of thousands, even millions of people. They may abuse their children, but that will be their own disservice because those children will not care for those fathers when they grow up. And those fathers will pay the price. And other fathers will see that. But in modern society, you can abuse for decades, whole nations, violate whole nations, whole peoples within your own nation. Exterminate them by the millions. You can do that if you're a government, if you're the father of a nation. And you see, so Cain designed his city-state after the concept of the family. But he was the father of that nation. Nimrod did the same thing. Eventually, Pharaoh did the same thing, and Caesar did the same thing. And almost every government today plays the role of father, and therefore can take your children from you because you're little more than livestock. Don't like to hear that? Well, then go back to your ear ticklers and see where that gets you. You know, that's just the way it is. Some might think it oppressive that a patriarch would have such power and authority within his given family. But is it any more desirable to be oppressed by a tribal or national group? Governments that eat out the substance of men, as it talks about in the Declaration of Independence, in peace, and march millions of minions to murderous deaths in wars, cannot be superior to the benevolent master, to that of our natural parent. And, you know, even bad parents often love their children more than the government. But the reality is this system of social welfare breeds bad parents. Like the two parents who, they put their infant child literally wasted away while they played video games in the house. They didn't say they wasted away while the parents went to work. They weren't going to work. They didn't need to go to work. They were on government subsistence. They were getting a government check. And I told in not too long ago in one of the programs that we did about a local family that they're not married. Because if they get married, then he may be held responsible for the child. He can't work because he gets headaches if he has to concentrate. But he plays video games all day. He runs around, does anything he wants. He's getting a check. She's getting a check. She's getting also aid to raise the child. And she's pregnant again. And you created that system. It's insane that you're doing this. And you think you're going to get a good society out of that. You think those children are going to be raised up with values, work ethic. Not going to happen. And you're doing this by the millions. We just did a show not too long ago about New Zealand's welfare system. Went from 15,000 people on it to 118,000 people on it. Was it 180,000 people on it? Can't even remember. The jump was big enough. Because they took away the moral means test. And originally, the government only supplemented. This is how it starts. They supplemented existing charities. That's the foot in the door. Don't do that. You don't even want to be supplemented. And if your church is not providing all the social welfare for its congregation, your church is not yet Christ's church. It has a lot to do to be a doer of the word. God dispersed dominion among the fathers of mankind. This is the separation of powers that you really want. The idea of separation of powers, it began with God. He separated the powers. Each father is father of his family only. In a democracy, you have a common purse of rights. And we know that the Bible tells us the common purse runs towards death, runs towards evil. So, the reality is that is the separation of power in God's kingdom. Each family is a mono unit itself. In that family, they have a right called the Imperium, which is the exercise. We'll get to that in a little bit. So, God disperses dominion amongst the fathers of mankind. Even with Jesus, he established no office of father to rule man in mass. A child is within that power until the father releases him or is released from life itself. There is no right of usurpation by any to take a child away from the father. But then again, if you go back to the original statement that we were making, that we were reading, right out of court rulings of the United States, you're not the father. That's it. The state is the father. In other words, the state is the father. I'm quoting. And mother of the child and the natural parents are not entitled to custody except by their benefit. And that's come about because you haven't been doing what Christ said. And your churches aren't doing what the early church did. And you have rejected God in all that you do. Maybe because of the lack of knowledge. But now you're getting the knowledge, and now you got a choice. Now you can start gathering together and start seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let me give you another quote here. The child is incapable in his private rights of any power or dominion. In every other respect, he is capable of legal rights. Now, what does that mean? What is he telling us there? The child has a capacity for acquiring legal rights. He could acquire by contract, for instance, but everything that he acquires is acquired for his father. Without emancipation, the father was not free of his father's power and was also not sui juris. As long as your father lived, you couldn't be sui juris, which would mean in possession of your rights. And I'll give you an example that may be a little bit of an understanding of how the law worked. And we'll go to Mark Twain. Remember in Tom Sawyer, they find the gold hidden in the cave. And they want to know who gets that gold. Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer, both find it. So theoretically, Huck Finn has got a right to it. But if Huck Finn gets it, his father gets it. Even though his father's not supporting him or anything, his father gets it. And that's an important thing to remember in the natural law. If the state is your father, it doesn't have to support you. It doesn't have to feed you. It can starve you. And it can still eat you and control you because it's your father. And if you step out of line, it can throw you in a concentration camp. It can make you work until you're dead. Because it's your father. that's a lot of power. I mean, if you're going to produce children, I mean, how many children could you produce in a lifetime? I mean, with at least with one wife, there's a limit. Even with multiple wives, there's a limit. And I can tell you this, if you don't take care of them, they could turn on you. But we have it now that states, you know, like Russia, took away all the grain in the Ukraine. Even the seed grain. And the people just starved. By the thousands, they starved. And died. They were piling them up like cordwood. But, you know, of course they call it Mother Russia, but it's the same thing. They are the parent. Parens patria. And the fact is, in the law of nature, these laws actually exist. So who owns you, baby? And who owns you? Does he love you? If you want God to own you, you have to go and return to your Father's house with the intention of serving your Father's purposes. You don't go to your Father's house to be saved. You go to your Father's house to be served. That's a key element. Now, salvation may be in the back of your mind, but in the forefront of your mind and mouth should be that I have come to serve. That's what the prodigal son was doing. Did you miss that part? This Latin word that are being used, like sui, meaning of one's own, and juris, meaning right, what is just, right, and fair. That's what sui juris means, what is just, right, and fair. Sui juris is one who is capable of managing one's own affairs. Well, obviously, most of the Americans and most people in the world today are not capable of managing their own affairs because they have to eat at the table of the king to even educate their own children, even though the Bible tells us, you know, fathers, teach thy sons. You said, well, I don't want to do that. I want the father in Washington to teach our sons. In our webpage, we have a video there that is a recording of a famous radio announcer, and also he had a newspaper column, and he did this story every year since the 60s, which is Paul Harvey. And in it, he talks about what the devil would do, and you should listen to that. And note the part where he says, until we pray, our Father who art in Washington. He's been saying that since the 60s, and you guys ain't getting it. You're still praying to your Father. You see, and that's how you get emancipated from your natural father, and your natural father emancipated from his rights, from his prior right, is by taking benefits. So now that you know that, the entire mission of your church is so that no one in your congregation has to eat at the table of the fathers of the earth. And if your congregation doesn't want to make that happen and work daily, diligently, even lowering their own life standard, their economy, in order to see that other people don't have to eat at the table of kings, if they're not doing that, they're not seeking the kingdom of God. And God will note that. He's not going to run out and meet you in your hour of need. He's not even going to hear you. Even if you don't go to the fathers of the earth, he's not going to hear you, because you sent your brothers to the fathers of the earth because you didn't want to share what you had. That spirit has to die in you. That unsharing, unforgiving spirit has to die in you. You want to starve the beast? Starve the beast in you. Pay your tally of bricks. Take care of one another. Even if you have to lower your standard of living to do it. That is the spirit that will get you through the days ahead. And you need to gather with others who have that spirit in them. Goes on to say, only the patriarchs of the family is sui juris. The first civil government based their civil powers on the law of the family. The individual citizens would be able to acquire legal rights by contract. but would not be sui juris. In other words, in the civil government, the state is your father. That is the design. And the next section was vicarius pater, and I don't think we'll be able to get through it. It's a pretty long section, but you can read all this on the website. But really what you need to do more than anything else is repent and start going back to the ways of Christ. And so we encourage everybody to go to thelivingnetwork.org, thelivingnetwork.org, which will take you to Preparing You. And I say that so that Preparing You is preparingyou.com. And you'll click on the links to do with network. And you'll see different states there, and you join those different email groups. Or you can go find, there's a thing called a personal contact minister, PCM, and they have their phone numbers there. You can call them up and start connecting and forming congregations of record that are actually going to diligently work and seek to take care of one another. And I know this is you got to start with baby steps. But now you have a direction. Now you know what the kingdom of God looks like. Looks like people living by the perfect law of liberty, caring for one another as much as they care for themselves. That's what it looks like. If you're not doing that, you're probably not saved. You haven't repented yet. And you're going to meet new people. Some of them will be really good, and some of them probably not so good. But everyone who's not so good, that gives you an opportunity for forgiveness. Hey, they're making it so that you can be forgiven now, if you forgive them. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so, this is your opportunity to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But I mean, it's going to take some midnight oil, some getting up early, some extra work. You're going to have to come to church with your sleeves rolled up, ready to do service. And you will not be saved by works, but your works are evidence of your repentance. And the difficulty of putting your shoulder to that plow, sounds like work, putting your shoulder to the plow, that difficulty will awaken you to where you need a little more repentance. Repentance is a process. So until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.